Well, everybody, welcome back to the Trick Podcast of Joy and Gozo TV on this beautiful Thursday, May 30th, the last day of the spring. Wow, summer, I guess, officially starts tomorrow. Is that right? June 1st? Well, whatever, wherever you may be and whatever you may be doing, I hope that you're doing great. Welcome back to my channel. Welcome back to my podcast. Thank you so much for being here. Make sure that you like, subscribe, comment, leave me a five-star review in iTunes. It helps the podcast get out to more people, get this message of gozo and of joy out to the masses. Talking today about what do you do when you are a success-driven person, but you also have a love for people? What do you do with this dilemma, I guess you could call it, between success and humility, between fame and glory and humility and compassion? So a little bit of background. This whole thing came out of the Enneagram. As you know, I am an Enneagram, freak. I like the Enneagram and I like to sound like I know what I'm talking about. I know a little bit about the Enneagram. If you have no idea what the Enneagram is, then I encourage you to go to Google and just type it in, Enneagram, and you can learn more about it. And maybe more specifically, you can go to the EnneagramInstitute.com and check out some of the different types, etc. But I'm an Enneagram 3, I think Wing 4, Wing 2. If you have no idea what that means, as I said, just bear with me, look it up a bit, and you'll learn more about your own type. But basically, the Enneagram 3 Wing, whatever I am, Wing 4, Wing 2, they live in this dilemma. The Enneagram 3, there are 9 types, 1 through 9. The 3 is called the achiever, the success-driven person, the image-conscious individual, which is very true of me. And then the wing, or kind of the partner, I guess, to it, the sidekick, the Robin to the Batman, is either the 4 or the 2, the two numbers adjacent to 3. And I think I'm a 3 wing 2. I mean, excuse me, 4. Now, the 4 is called the individualist, or the creative type, the artist, someone who can be melancholic. And just think of your favorite guitar player at the local coffee shop, and you kind of get a picture of who I'm talking about. These are very creative individuals, individualistic. They're into their art, and they don't really care about the rest. They just really want to be creative and be artistic and be uniquely themselves. And so that's the dilemma, the tension. The 3 in me tells me, succeed, be the best, be awesome, be admired by millions of people, millions of fans. The 4 says, be internal. Don't make it about you. Seek more to be known for your contribution to society, not because you are some amazing person. And so we live in this dilemma. And so, for example, I am a pastor, as you know, I'm a musician, and I love to podcast and live stream and do beats and all these things. But I am not famous in any shape, way, shape, or form. I don't have fans online. I don't have many followers. I pastor a small church. You could say that as far as my 3 in this sense to, or this desire, need to achieve, that I have very little success in life in terms of those things, right? Now, the 4 is very happy because the 4 is more about being unique and doing something that is altruistic. And so we do pastor a small church that we're trying to rescue from non-existence. And so I feel very much of a hero, or the Messiah, or the savior, or the person who is uniquely called and gifted to rally people around faith and to recover, restore this beautiful pearl of great prize. The 4 also tells me that it's not about fame, that it's about living simply, about driving a beat-up car, which I do, about having a very average and humble house, which we do, about wearing normal clothes and living simply and being a very down-to-earth family and person, which I am and we are. But the three tells me you're not going to be happy unless you have thousands of adoring fans and thousands of views and your name is out there in the lights and people are calling you to figure out how did you do it. But the four tells me it's not about you. It's about the Lord. It's about Jesus. It's about helping the one person. It's about loving people genuinely from the heart. So you see the tension, right? And it sometimes drives me nuts. I sometimes literally get sick to my stomach, literally trying to enunciate my words. The three tells me I'm amazing, I'm the best. The four tells me I'm the worst at everything. I am terrible. And so you can imagine there's this constant tension. So what do you do? Well, a three is always going to be a three. I'm not a four. I have a tendency for four, but I'm always going to be a three, meaning at the end of the day, I want to achieve. I want to succeed. What the four does, though, it dampens, maybe that's a bad word, it rounds off the edges. Maybe it calms me down because there is unhealthy levels of threeness where I can see people just as projects or as pieces in the puzzle of my success or of the success of my organization instead of seeing them as the humans that they are. And so the four kind of tames the threeness. It rounds off the edges, as I said. It relaxes the threeness, which tends to be narcissistic at times, or superficial, or fake, or disingenuous, or deceiving, a liar, all these things that I know I have dealt with and deal with at times. But the four is the person who is more inward, who doesn't look for attention or isn't seeking attention. And then you have all of these different, besides the wings of the three and all that, you have then what the three tends to go towards when it comes to stress or safety. So the three tends to move towards six in safety. No, is that right? Yeah, I think it is. So the three, the six is called the loyalist. So when I'm on my good days, when I'm doing well, I am very loyal, committed. I'm not looking to use you or to abuse you or consume you, but to really be there for you. Under stress, the three goes to nine, which is the sloth or the lazy person. And so that's when I get depressed or I get stuck or I'm not sure what to do next. And I get all wishy-washy and all that stuff. And so now, of course, as people of God and lovers of Jesus and people of the Holy Spirit, I believe that the Holy Spirit works for all those things. I don't believe the Holy Spirit is outside of my personality, nor do I believe that the Holy Spirit is against my personality. Absolutely not. I believe that the Holy Spirit works through our personalities. Whether you are aware of your personality or not, whether you're into all this psychobabble or not, I'm into it because I believe it's true, but I do believe that the Holy Spirit is trying to mature us even through all these tools. And so, even though, as I said, a lot of me wants to have fame and succeed, and I believe that some of it is from God, it's what's driven me to do a lot of great things, I am happy most of the time with the lack of success in my life, most of the time. As long as I have that fourness filled, meaning in my case that I'm speaking, coaching people, that I am playing music, that I am influencing others with a microphone per se, through a microphone or a meeting one-on-one, or maybe even through this microphone. So as long as that's there, I am not as desperate to be in front of thousands or millions of people. And when that does pop up, that need for success does rise within me, and it turns into depression because I don't have that success, that kind of success, that's when I turn to my tools, which include a lot of mindset, a lot of therapy, a lot of prayer, a lot of verses in the Bible. One of them is Psalm 91, which is very helpful to me. Now, when I'm not dealing with some of these issues and my anxiety rises and I begin to feel disconnected from myself, my body begins to freak out, and so then I begin to dramatize everything and catastrophize and think that I'm dying of this and that and the other. So that's when I have to go back to my tools that I mentioned before. Now, I tell you all this because perhaps you have a tension that's similar to mine. And in the Bible, sometimes it's called the flesh and the spirit. But I think this is a little more nuanced than that. I don't think it's that clear cut. I don't think that 3, let's say in my case, is the devil and 4 is Jesus. I don't think it's that. I think that God is in both, in all aspects of our personality. But I do think that there's always need for growth by the power of the Holy Spirit. So perhaps going back to what you may feel, perhaps if you deal with a tension within your life between, let's just say, success and humility, then maybe some of the things that I'm saying can help you to kind of work through that. I guess the thing that I long for in people that are not familiar with some of this stuff is to be honest, to not hide, for example, the 2. Their virtue is compassion, but their vice is envy. And so instead of saying, well, I am struggling with envy, or I am not envious anymore, or I don't have any envy, and I'm just a compassionate type, it is to be self-aware and to realize that perhaps your compassion is driven out of envy. And then to deal with that is to be specific. You know, instead of using the general word of sin and shame, it's to be specific. So for me, when I think of sin, I don't think necessarily of, I don't know, a transaction between me and God. I think of my tendency to want to be admired, and when it goes too far, or my tendency to get too down on myself, and when it goes too far into shame or failure. That's what I consider my sin, is those things that damage me, that move me away from the love of God or my family or my mom, my wife, of course, our children. When I'm too aware of my image and I want people to think that I'm amazing, more amazing than I really am, when I get to those places, that's where I confess and I say, Lord, help me, change me, forgive me. When I'm too upset, too angry because I want everything around me to be perfect, not that I'm a perfectionist, but because of appearance, I want everything to appear as amazing. And so then when I'm too hard on people, or I'm too strict, or I'm too success driven with my kids or with my team or with myself, those are the times when I say, okay, it's time to take a step back. So I wonder if in your life, if you, let me go through maybe the 9 vices. So the vice of the ones is anger. Of 2 is envy, as I said. 3 is deception or lying. 4 is envy. Did I say envy for 2? Maybe for 2 is something else. I think for 4 is envy. I could be wrong. For 5, it's fear. For 6, it's anxiety. For 7, it's, I forget. For 8 is lust. And for 9 is sloth. I forgot a few of the ones there, but if you identify with any of those or all of those from this Enneagram study, there is one that is the main driving force behind a lot of what we do. And now, what are the virtues of each type? Well, the 1 is individualism? No, I think it's actually to be a reformer. Yes, to reform. 2 is compassion. 3 is achiever. 4 is the artist or the creative individualist. 5 is the investigator. 6 is the loyalist. 7 is the joyful person. 8 is the challenger. And 9 is the peacemaker. So these are very beautiful virtues that are needed in the body of Christ, in the world, and at home, at work, everywhere. And so I guess that my desire is that we all would be honest about some of these things, that we would be aware, and that we would then say to the Lord, Lord, change me in these areas. But at the same time, to know what our contribution is in the world. I'm glad I'm a 3. I can't change myself. I am who I am. My wife is a 1, a reformer. She can't be a peacemaker. You know, she's a reformer. She likes to change rules, and she's a very justice person. It's how God made us. It's Psalm 139 that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And I believe from with my whole life, and I meant to say from the beginning of time, that God has given us these gifts for a purpose. Like Ephesians 2 says that he's given us these qualities for to do good works in the world. And so to know how you show up in the world, what you do, how you think is very important. And whether you use this language or not, or you use more biblical language such as gifts and spiritual talents, I mean, it's all really related to, I don't think it's the same, but it's all related. Or maybe you're more into the Myers-Briggs, an introvert, extrovert, or maybe you don't even like this stuff. It's just a bunch of silliness. It's all fine, but I know that we all have tendencies, and if you are a very compassionate person, wouldn't it be great to know that? I had a friend who is very compassionate, and people always are telling her, oh, you're too compassionate, you're too kind, and people tend to put her down. Imagine if something like this test, this Enneagram test, can free her, to tell her that is, compassion is actually her gift, that is actually how God uses her in the world. And it's not something to be ashamed of or to change about you. And so, and at the same time, if it is envy, I'm not sure now, but I think it is envy, to be aware of the envy that could be there, could creep in, so that you can be a more healthy two, or a more healthy compassionate type. So I think that at the end of the day, my desire is that we all would be true to ourselves under the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that you would be the best version of yourself with the Holy Spirit's conviction and change and protection. That for me, that I would be an achiever and a success-driven person, but that my success would be seen in the small things as well as in the big things. That the glory would always go to Jesus, not to myself. And if you are a different type, a seven, for example, that's a joyful person, that your joy would not be experiential, but that it would come from a healing that happens in your life from perhaps childhood stuff. So every person, every one of us, has a healing that I'm convinced that needs to happen. I am healing every day from this tendency to want to have success. And when I don't have it, then I get so depressed. But instead to focus on love, focus on the love of my wife, of our children, of my mom, of my grandma when she was around, my father, of my church, of people that love me, of people that have loved me through the years, of the creative types that I've had the privilege to serve and work with, to let that fill my tank and not consume more and more and more to try to fill that void that the three in me, the unhealthiness of the three, can leave behind. I guess my prayer for you and for me today is that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit, that we would be people of love, that we would show up in the world as the best version of ourselves, that Jesus would fill our minds and hearts with his presence so that we can love the world, we can love people, that we can love God with all our hearts, mind, and soul, and that we can be healers in this world. Thank you so much for listening. Please share, like, comment. Make sure you go to iTunes and give me a 5-star review. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you next time.